Welcome to episode 41 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pertap, and Aaron Catano-Saez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids, just like you. Last time, as Kieran, Cece, and June settled into their first day in Swiftwell's respite, they took an opportunity to catch up with each other. Each of them had strange, scary, exciting new experiences to discuss, and at the end of the conversation, they felt closer than they ever have before as friends. Next up is prom theme brainstorming, dinner with the Red Audrin, and a date with the Black Audrin kids. So heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly!
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride, singing way, hey, ho. But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride, singing way, hey, ho. I've never been much for the pistol or blade, singing way, hey, ho. For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade, singing way, hey, ho. My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time, singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.
You guys run back to the boat. When we last left the Audrin landing area, we saw that there was a bunch. There's a lot of people. It has now died down. There's not a whole lot of people, but you guys do run back to the boat. And as you get back to the boat, you see that Bran and Fenton are like carrying things. And Bran's like, oh, hey, guys, we're down in the Red Audrin section of Respite. It's just down the hill here. Points, and you guys can see that there's a couple of buildings off into the trees down the hill that have like red, that are painted red. Yeah, just head over down there. The captain's waiting for everybody.
Okay, thanks, Bran.
Thanks, Bran.
And we get this beautiful shot, this high shot of the three of you running down this hill. You know when you're a kid and you can run like forever?
Oh, yeah.
And it feels good to run. That's the way this feels. The air is cold and crisp and you can feel it like enter your lungs. And kind of feels like it cleans out everything. The wind is in your face as you're running downhill. And it's that crisp winter, but it hasn't snowed yet. But there's that potential, that promise of snow. As you guys run down the hill and you see laid out in the trees is Respite, the actual little town. There's a couple of buildings kind of in the center of these woods. And the buildings are mostly built around the trees and not through the trees, much like Otterbox was in that way. But there are definite four different sections of this little town, one that's red, one that's yellow, one that's black, and one that's gray.
Like the Audrins.
You see people running back and forth, just kind of walk around doing their business for the day. You pass like an older gentleman who's like raking leaves off of the cobblestone path that you guys are running on right now. We see you guys like get to the bottom of the hill and like turn left and head into like the Red Audrin section of the town. And we see there is a bigger building. And Captain Dennison is out in front of it, and he's, like, ringing a bell. There's, like, a big bell out front of it. The rest of the Audrin is, like, gathering in front to kind of speak to the captain and hear what he has to say. You guys kind of slide to a halt. You're all, like, breathing heavy, having just run. But it felt really good. And you guys feel lighter having had this conversation between the three of you. You know how when your emotions get all cobwebbed up?
Yeah.
And then you have like a good talk with somebody about something and it feels so much cleaner.
Take a feeling shower.
Yeah. And it feels like you took like an emotional shower. We see Captain Dennison stand out in front of all of you. Bran and Fenton kind of come in behind you as they put down things to like listen to the captain.
Welcome to Swiftwell's Respite, or Respite if you like. We welcome you first timers here. Those who've been here before, welcome to you as well. It looks like at this list that he's got looking over. Let's see here. These four buildings, and it kind of points off to the side. These are ours. You can take any room inside of them. There'll be one of the senior staff in each one. And, so choose your rooms, enjoy that, do what you need to do. You got free time for the rest of the day. Dinner will be about sundown. and we'll be cooking our own meal here. But after that, you can do whatever you like. Just be sure to be in your rooms at least by midnight. For those of you that are older and wish to stay out longer than that, you may come to me. I'll give you passes to see if you can do that. Just ask for permission first. Let's see here. What else we got here? Tomorrow we have our big All Audrin dinner. Make sure you're there for that. That's important. And he points off. It'll be in the large meeting hall down there. And we see like everyone kind of turn around and look. And then look back. It'll be there. And then after that, we'll be heading up to the manor house to pick out outfits for Audrin prom. And everyone's kind of like, oh my God. Yeah. As I said before, you'll get those. You'll sign them out those clothing. And then you'll return it at the end of our time here. Oh. Now, some of these are older clothes. So treat them gently. Understand?
Aye, Captain.
Good. What else here? There'll be another meeting probably tomorrow. We'll talk about prom and stuff like that. Kieran, June, Cece, how's the prom theme going?
Oh, great. You know, always working, always grinding. It's going great.
Good. What's the theme you guys are presenting? And we see the whole Audrin turn and look at you three.
June's eyes bug out of her head.
Cece's mouth just hangs open like a trout.
Kieran straight up just turns into a turtle. We're not ready to present it, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Well, do become ready. Tomorrow you have to present it, not just to me, but to all the rest of the captain as well, so they can sign off on it. And we'll vote at the big Audrin dinner.
Oh.
Got it. Sir. Yes.
All right, good.
Do we... I have a question, sir.
Yes, of course, Ro. What is it?
Do we have to make a presentation, or are we just naming a theme?
It's mostly just naming a theme.
Okay.
If you want the theme to really succeed, a good little presentation and presenting it in the most advantageous way to the captains is the best way of going about it. I personally, whatever you come up with is fine for me. So sign off on it no matter what.
That's good to
Unless
know.
It's something, you know, awful like, you know, Dance of the Mariner or something like that.
Oh, and Cece scribbles out a line of text in a notebook.
But you'll be presenting that tomorrow to them as well during your free time. And then, as I said, we'll vote for it at the big All Audrin dinner. Anything else for you? Anything else? Any other questions, comments, or concerns?
Is anybody else feeling this great energy in the air? This is like big field trip energy. And anybody else excited?
Ruby goes, yeah.
That's why you're my girl, Rubes.
There's a comment in the background. Everyone else is like...
Yeah. We see Jägerman go, we are very excited, are we not? Yes!
And yeah! Everyone's like,
yeah!
I'm excited.
See? When no good. One's got my back, y'all have my back.
Good. It'll be good. The dance is a lot of fun. The dinner is a good bit of fun. Hopefully you'll be able to see Mr. Coriander and his wife, Patience Rebecca. They should be here as well. And a good number of other people come from Thornvale for Audrin prom. So it'll be a big event, and we'll all dance and have fun. Anybody else? Questions? We see Orwin raise his hand in the back and go, excuse me, Captain, is Zuri Fortescue still here? The captain goes, oh, the Black Lily, aye. Zuri is still here. If you have anything you want to talk about, anything you do not feel comfortable coming to me or Winchwind or Jägerman for... He points out and goes, Fortescue's house is down that way. They are a Black Lily, and they are more than welcome to hear anything you want to talk about, whether it's personal, romantic, emotional, anything. Know that you are more than welcome to come to me with that. And everyone's like, okay. But if you don't want to, you may go to Fortescue, and they are more than happy to help with all of your problems. And I think that's it. And we see Lysander like come up onto the platform and like leap and claw their way into Denison's coat. Denison's coat is thick enough that he doesn't really feel it as they crawl up his back and like onto his shoulders. And he absentmindedly pets them on the head. And he goes, all right, Let's get settled and let's get dinner going. Let's see. Olwena and Orwin, you're on cooking duty. And they're like, oh gosh. As the you guys are left to your own devices, real quick, what are the rooms you guys get out of these little houses?
It's gotta be really nice. Based on the theme of the housing department and the Audrins, it's gotta be something like we get a suite with a fireplace. We all get our own fancy big kid beds. You know, it's gotta be something where it's like.
So we see you guys go to one of these like cabins. They're two stories. And you guys kind of go in there. And I think the three of you have like a room. And it is literally like four post beds. Not like huge four post beds, but like they're beds.
They are huge. We sleep in hammocks.
You guys sleep in hammocks.
Hammocks are wildly comfortable and very good for your back.
There are these like three beds in here, unless there's a fourth one and there's a fourth person who comes in and sleeps with you guys.
Three of us.
Okay.
Awesome.
Sleepovers time.
I really like the idea that like this, it's two stories. The bottom floor is sort of like a common area with like a hearth and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are two rooms that accommodate three people each. So we're sharing the cabin with another set of three.
Sick.
But okay. We have our own
suite
room,
mates.
And we're going to be nightmares.
And we're going to make that everyone else's problem.
We are going to make it everyone else's problem.
Okay. So it's you three. And who are the other three?
It's got to be Brandon Fenton.
Ruby, Brandon,
and
Brandon
Ruby. Fenton. Yeah.
Okay, it's Bran, Fenton, and Ruby. Oh, I wonder if they would let Bran sleep in that room.
Oh, true. I forgot.
Fair. Oh, he's older. Right. I forgot.
He's a little older.
And he's like dating Fenton.
Yeah, I think it's Ruby and Fenton and probably Winchwind.
Oh, gosh. Oh, jeez.
You have adult supervision? Lame.
Oh, gosh.
That's the other three. The other three are Ruby, Fenton, and Winchwind are in there as well. And you guys are like, oh, it's Ruby. Oh, it's Fenton. And then Winchwind comes in and everyone's like, oh.
Oh,
God. But yeah, downstairs is like a common area. It's got like a hearth.
There isn't like a kitchen counselor.
But there's like a larder. There's like, you know, food and things here as well. But yeah, you guys are in this room and it's four post beds. There's another hearth that's like connected to the main hearth on this side. So there's like two chimneys.
Sick.
On this two story place.
This place is awesome.
This place is really cool.
What is the decor? Like any good Airbnb, it's got a theme.
It says gather. Laugh. It's very laugh, love.
It's buffalo plaid and antlers.
Yes. What would Coriander Swiftwell think is like really cozy or cool for kids?
It's like a kitschy longhouse.
Yeah.
It's like not a longhouse because it has like very modern looking shingles, but and like a generator in the back.
There's a sign when you walk in, there's one of those like boot cleaner brushes things,
mm-hmm.
and it says,
yes.
Wipe your hooves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything's very like rustic wood like cut. Like it's like a log, like the inside is very like log, mm-hmm. like rough cut wood, and antlers.
Yep. A lot of antlers and a lot of like deer jokes and like, you know, like squirrel stuff. Like it'll say like, hang up your coat here. And it's like a crude drawing of a squirrel pointing to like the coat rack.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's perfect. And so this is the little Audrin like cabin you guys are going to be in for the next couple of days.
Amazing.
Perfect.
We see you guys go in and like unpack and put stuff away. And I want to jump ahead. We're going to go past free time. Just give me a quick montage of like what you guys do during free time.
Panic about the prom theme.
Okay.
Oh yeah, we need
yes,
to panic
we got
about
work
active
to do.
Panic
we
about
have
the prom theme.
Work to do.
So we see you guys inside of your room, like paper out, all sitting on the floor, like trying to like think of things. And the door opens and Ruby's like, do you guys wanna go to, and you're like,
no,
we're
busy.
We're busy.
We really busy.
And Ruby's like, oh, okay. What are you working on?
Gotta figure
prom
out
committee stuff.
Yeah, prom committee stuff. Big business is happening here. Big moves are being made, and they have not been made yet. We have been standing still.
Oh, so you don't have a theme yet?
No, we've got so many themes, Ruby. So many themes.
Throw some at me. Throw some at me. We'll see.
I don't feel comfortable with that.
off the top of my head, Bastion of the Whippoorwinds.
Okay. What do you got next?
Flex Station Aurus.
Okay. Kieran.
Muscle Masquerade.
Dance of the Spring Fairies.
Ooh, that's solid. That's solid. CC, jot it down.
The meeting place of the tides.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Yeah, except the cool. Water is bad. CC,
oh,
that's not
gosh,
a good theme.
I forgot. She crosses that one out, and there's another one that says, it says, hugs for the mariner. She crosses that out, too.
Ruby goes, how about this one? How about this? Fire.
That's a great theme.
That's a it's really hot. Good theme.
That's a great theme.
Oh, fire
awesome
is hot.
Theme.
Ruby.
Ruby, why aren't you on the prom committee?
Because I did it last time.
Oh,
you did?
What was
Wait,
your
did
theme?
You? What yeah, was what was your theme last time?
Oh, ours wasn't chosen.
Yeah, but what was
what
it?
Was
fire.
It?
It's hot.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, I was on the maybe they'll Audrey like it this time. Time. Maybe they had to like warm up to it.
Yep.
Oh, Kieran. See what you... Oh!
We see Ruby smile. That was good.
Solid.
That was a good one. Okay. No, those are all pretty bad, actually.
Yeah. That's why we're still working on it.
No, the procrastination station is in full effect right now. We haven't gotten anything done.
What if that was the theme, the procrastination station?
We can put a pin in that and get back to it later.
Okay.
See what I did there?
Mm. Okay. Have fun and TikTok. And she like closes
Clocks,
the door.
Clocks is a theme. Clocks are a theme.
Oh,
I imagine we see you guys continue to go through this as eventually you're called down to dinner. The six of you from this cabin all go downstairs. You go outside and it's starting to get, the sun is beginning to go down and it's getting colder now. There's a bunch of these like small cabins that you see around here. There's four of them that all of you guys are in. And then there's a larger building that is kind of the Red Audrin central building. It's got like long tables. June, as you go inside, you notice the decorative gourd is based off of this.
What the?
Or this is based off the decorative gourd.
I am very uncomfortable.
It's almost a one-to-one to your house.
Yeah. Guys, this looks like my house.
Yo, it totally does.
Which came first, this or your house?
I have no idea.
Wait, how would your house be inspired by this and vice versa? Were your parents like... in an Audrin?
Yeah.
Real quick, June, you know your mom and dad were couriers.
For a long time?
No, not a long
not
time.
Not a long time. Good time, not a long time.
I think your dad made it to all courier. Your mother made it to initiate and then went away from that life.
Yeah, no, my parents were couriers for a little bit.
What?
Yeah, they don't talk about it a lot.
What Audrin were they on?
That you don't know.
I have no idea.
They never told you.
Oh.
I don't know. I just know that they both trained and they spent some time, and my dad was like an all courier for a minute, and then my mom I think was an adept or an initiate or something, and then they left and they started the decorative gourd.
Oh my goodness. That means your house is styled after this building because your parents are couriers and now you're a courier. And then your house, when you're an adult, is going to look nothing like this because we are never going back to the decorative gourd.
Well, yeah. I mean, remember how, you know how my mom was. She didn't want me to be a novice.
Yeah. Ugh. She was a big jerk about it. But, you know, we're past that. We're growing. We're learning.
Yeah.
But
you are struck, June, in this moment by the words your mother left you with. That are, it's dangerous out there, June. And you've learned that.
Yeah.
You've learned that she wasn't wrong.
I hate to say it, but she was kind of right.
About what?
Well, she didn't want me to do it because she was like, oh, it's dangerous. There's bad people out there and you don't know what you're messing with.
But it's also fun and exciting.
Well, it is also fun. And it's also like, we're learning things and we're becoming stronger and smarter.
And better.
And we're doing good things for people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Mercies and stuff.
And, like, if she thinks it's dangerous because she lived through it. She survived it. She met your dad, and then you exist. So, like, without that experience, you wouldn't be here. So naturally, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So can you even imagine when you're all done with this and you're like an all courier or something, like how incredible you're going to be because you were forged in this crucible?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I kick over a pumpkin, one of the decorative gourds, and I go, yeah.
Oh, that gourd didn't do anything.
Kieran puts the pumpkin back, like
the pumpkin is made of wood.
It's not like an actual pumpkin. It's a pumpkin made of wood.
It's a decorative gourd.
It's a decorative gourd.
Styrofoam gourd.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to the mineral. We are so pleased that so many of you are continuing to share your love of Courier's Call on social media. It really brings us all so much joy each time we see you post about it. Thank you all so much for all that you've done with the reviews on iTunes and Google Play, and all who continue to share your thoughts and feelings on Discord each week. If you have thoughts, feelings, fan art, cosplay, anything, whatever, I'm not sure, or other expressions you'd like to share with us specifically, feel free to send us an email at skyjackscourierscall@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Yes, you, sitting there right now, listening. If you'd like to continue to show your support beyond tweets, posts, and leaving a review, you are cordially invited to join the One Shot Network Patreon, where you can receive previews, audio treats, bonus content, and an entire secret archive of games and world building for Skyjacks and other fine shows. Check it out at patreon.com/oneshotpodcast. Furthermore, you can support Aaron at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez, Ali and Drew at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. That's so cute. And Palomi at ko-fi.com/PalomiSP. We are grateful to each and every one of you. Thank you for going on this journey with us. And with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey.
So what do you guys have for dinner? Remember that it was Olwina, who is one of the older people on the Audrin. She's the one who helped you guys find your coats.
Oh, yeah.
And Ortwin are the two of them that cooked dinner. So what do you guys eat?
Good soup.
Mm.
Is it stir fry?
That can be, yeah, I like that. I like that it's like a stir fry thing. Yeah.
It's a bunch of stuff, like thrown in a
it's
pan.
Like chopped up vegetables and other tasty niblets.
Because Ortwin's a greenheart, so it's a... It's a lot of veggies and
cool. Yeah.
It's a lot of veggies and a lot. It's like a vegetable stir fry that you
awesome.
Guys get.
And you can tell when you see it and when you're eating it that it's like everything they just had, but it's super good.
Good soup.
Good soup. Good stir. Good fry.
Good fry.
Good fry.
Good fry.
We see Bobby Jean come in and Bobby Jean goes over and like speaks to them and then he takes out this jar that he's got that's got like this like powder in it and they offer and he goes up and opens it and sprinkles it into the stir fry. And when you guys get it, it is a spicy stir fry. But it's really good.
That is so good though.
It's tasty. I can't handle the heat.
Do you have to just give in to the sweat
from entering the kitchen?
Give in to the sweat? Is that what you said?
You just gotta give in to the sweat.
Oh, I'm sweating.
It's
my
snooty
is soaked. Cece's hair is like
us, right?
Glued to her head.
Yeah, it's really good for you. It like clears your nose and all that stuff.
Kieran, on a scale of milk to normal Jiltaran food, where does this stand?
Kieran's just like, that's nice.
Cute.
It's really cute.
Good job, guys. You really tried hard.
That's great.
It's really sweet.
Finish your stir fry. Everyone kind of helps clean up as we see the Audrin work together.
I want to know,
I am
riddled with curiosity. How does Ruby deal with spicy food?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's different. Yeah. It's different.
Because it's hot, but it's like not
ever hot.
So people are like, you got to try this, Ruby. And Ruby's like, I don't usually like eat food, but I'll try it. And
the concept that Ruby has to go through, that she has to chew her food and like swallow it, it's just like, this is very weird. Because usually she just snacks on heat and just absorbs it, like turns it into jelly and paste and like slurps it down. She has it, but she's like, yeah, I can feel it. I can feel like the heat of it. But it's different than like, it's different than actual heat. Does that make sense?
It's heat, but it's not heat.
It's heat, but it's not heat.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And she finishes it and she's not even fazed, like, at all. And what she does at the end is she goes over to the fire and she, like, eats some of the fire for sustenance for dinner. And she, like, turns, like, a part of it into, like, a jam, a jelly that she puts over bread. When I like to chew things, I just like bread to, like, spread it over.
I like bread all the time.
Do you want some?
Of the heat?
Yeah.
Is it, like, hot?
It tastes good to me. I don't usually hand it out to people, but do you want to try it?
I'll try it.
Okay, and she like cuts the bread and you have like a small bit of it and she gives it to you.
Are we eating and hot?
Is it just
pulse?
Hot bread?
It's so you eat it, June. You're just having it too, right, Karen?
Yes.
So the two of you like chew it and it's like drinking hot water where there's a slight smoky taste to it, but it's that feeling of heat, but it's not your mouth being like, oh, this is spicy. It's just hot. And for a moment, you're like, oh, this is going to burn my tongue. It kind of mellows out because Ruby can see the looks on your faces and you see her like close her eyes and it goes from being like, this is going to burn my mouth to warm water in your mouth with like a smoky kind of taste to it.
Huh.
And it doesn't really do a whole lot. It basically, you just had bread with a little butter on it. But that's what you guys feel.
It's definitely interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
It's really different based on the wood that you're using and the temperature of it. I noticed that it was a little hot. I kind of pulled a little bit from it. That's okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
This entire conversation, Cece is just slouched back in her chair, staring at the ceiling, drenched with sweat, breathing deep.
Meditation breathing.
Oh my God. As you're sitting there, Cece, you see Ortwin kind of look over, like the camera's your eyes, and we see Ortwin like lean over and go, "Yeah, right there, Cece."
Yeah, it's just the stir fry was really good, but it was just really hot.
Do you want any milk or anything?
Milk? No, I'm fine. I'm cool. I got my juice. I got a big old juice, and I am happy with my juice. I'm good. I'm fine.
Ortwin goes, all right, and if you need anything, just let us know, all right?
You are a king, and I appreciate your kindness.
Oh, thank you. And he like turns around and leaves. We watch as the Audryn cleans up together, and it looks like a big family. It's like 14 people that everyone's kind of dressed down. This room is warm, warmly lit with firelight and lanterns and wood. It has accented everything. Everyone is sitting around talking, joking, cleaning up, finishing up eating. And the three of you are struck by this family that you are a part of. Even if it might just be for these 6 months, but this group is one that you slowly have gotten closer and closer to. As you guys are kind of finishing that up, there is a knock on the front door. And we see Winchwin go over and open it, and they go, oh, hello, can we help you? And there's a,
I'm looking for Cece, Kieran, and June. Are they here?
June looks at Cece with the biggest smile on her face.
We're here.
And we see Cephas look over and go, hello there, hello, friends. And he kind of dips around Winchwind and kind of comes into the place.
Oh, it's really nice. It looks like it's a decorative gold.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's weird, isn't it? Are you three ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
I came right after dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cece, are you ready to go?
Cece is ready to go. Cece comes down the stairs. Cece's picking up on what Cephas is putting down these days. And Cece's wise. June's winks and nods have kind of broken it down. She's no fool. So she comes down the stairs very slowly, like it's Titanic. And She says, Cephas, ah, it is time after all. And she throws an arm around him, like real deep. And she goes, are you ready to go?
To which Cephas is like, I'm ready. Gonna go play games, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah.
She gives him a noogie and then says, games it is. And she pushes him out the door. And then she goes
gone.
She looks at June and she goes, I'm flirting.
Oh, okay. So really good job, Cece.
Got it.
Thanks.
Top notch.
As you guys are heading out, Captain Dennison is like leaning there. He's not wearing his Audrin coat now. He's got like his sleeves are kind of rolled up. You see like a couple of tattoos on his forearms. He's got like a waistcoat on and his collar is open. And he goes, oh, what's all this about?
We're going to go rage with some of the, we're going to go hang with some of the kids from the Black Audrin.
All right, then. Remember, you're supposed to be home by midnight.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Captain Dennison, before we go, so this is my boy Cephas, and he told me something that he wanted to tell you, but I'll relay the message.
All right, then.
A friend of his went bald years ago, but still carries around an old comb. Cephas said that he can't part with it.
I'll be sitting right over there, and he points at a chair, waiting for you to be back before midnight.
Good job, right. Cephas. Yep, I'll see you there.
All right, have fun.
He turns around. As you guys are closing the door, he's like, all right, who's up for games? And like the door closes. Well, give me one detail, each of you, as you walk across the town to the Black Audrin section of Respite.
There's lots of like old-timey lanterns everywhere.
I was going to say that. Yes!
It's very atmospheric.
Mm-hmm. You can tell that somebody put a lot of work in to make us feel welcome, like the kids are appreciated. Because it's like, it's the kids' time. You know, this is Audrin prom. So it's like lights are set up. I imagine it's like there's little decorations that say like welcome and like little things. I don't know, just like little winks to like welcome us to the town.
Oh, absolutely. In the town square, like the center of it, there is a like welcome to Audrin prom, like a banner that's up.
Aw.
That is up. But yeah, there's all these little touches. There's these little like as you guys walk by a tree, there's like a sign, like a handmade sign that's like welcome couriers.
I was gonna say, I think there's an excessive amount of signs, and it's like to a comical degree, but also I feel like this forest surrounding it isn't menacing, but nobody's taking any chances, you know?
Yeah, nobody's out there.
Like no. There's like, especially as you get to the edge of the like area, the clearing, there's like, you're entering the forest, turn back. Like there's just a lot of that.
I have an idea for that.
Go for it.
Those signs, they're held by a scarecrow in an old Audrin coat.
Yeah.
Oh. Of like the various colors. And so it's like, turn back, like, and it's also, I'm sure it's some cool tradition, but also it's to
and
sign,
that scarecrow
like, hey, kids.
Comes alive in the darkness of night. It's fine.
Yeah, there's the, fi- there's the final boss of this
There's
arc.
The Audrin scarecrows, and people have lots of rumors about them.
Yes. Yes.
How they walk around and like, knock
someone,
on your doors in the middle of the night.
Someone
you're like,
saw
there?
It.
Like, oh, no.
Walking around the night before, and I swear to God, it was there. Like that's the kind of ghost story like kids are telling each other here. Yes.
Pranks are pulled using them. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like all of the lanterns that we see are not like somewhere on the ground in different places. Like this place is crisscrossed with like cobblestone paths everywhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe thigh high, hip high, like stone cobblestone walls as well that are like. That partition off these paths, but the lanterns are in the trees.
Ooh.
So they're higher up and they're like strung across
and not
this like
blinding
whole area.
You while you're walking around.
Yeah.
They're eye level.
Like, oh, I can't see. is that a scarecrow? God.
It's horrifying.
I can't tell.
Horrifying. Yeah, but they're high up into the trees on like lines and also, but like on branches. It must take a long time to light these. We see the three of you walk along this path with Cephas. Cephas is uncharacteristically quiet. You guys are kind of talking, and he's like, yeah, just kind of keeps quiet the entire time. Lazarus is like on his head, like on top of his head. Aww. He is like a yellowish white at this point. He's like a flashlight that's on top of his head and just casting a warm glow around you guys as you guys walk along towards the to the Black Audren. You guys get across town. It only takes a couple of minutes, but you get to the Black Audren section. How is it different than the Red Audren? Go for it.
Maybe the theme is nets. Like we have antlers all over ours.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, like, and I'm not talking like just the kind of netting you would see in rigging, like for whatever reason. I love that. Reason.
So between the buildings, there's netting.
And there's like lanterns hung on each of the little cross sections.
That's cool.
But they're like different colors.
It's the Aranir version of like fairy lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a grid of fairy lights. I love it.
Yeah. I was going to say that all of their cabin buildings look exactly the same from the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Like, exactly the same.
Nice.
Like, eerily. Like, spooky.
Yeah. How do you know which one's yours?
You Cephas looks around and goes,
they're numbered. And he points over, and there's, like, one, two, like, on different posts out in front of them.
Got it. Huh.
Oh, you can see that they have hearths and, like, fireplaces. But there's no chimney in them.
Oh,
that's cool.
Like there's no chimney, but you can obviously tell that there's a smoking fire in there and it's going somewhere, but I don't know where. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And you guys come up to one and you open the door. Cephas goes, this is us. This is we're number three. And he kind of goes up and he opens the door and it opens into this Black Audren cabin.
Kings singing way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Singing way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Singing way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Singing way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. A voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to ever be thankful for what you've received. Sing it way, hey, ho. Sing it way, hey, ho.
At the bottom of the Red Audren, there is a tiny room with a tiny door with a very large sign on that tiny door that says Mail Room. Inside, we see Cece, Kieran, and June busy at work.
Kieran, I don't know if this potted plant's gonna fit.
I mean, I feel like if we put it in the center or like even on the windowsill, it might.
Okay.
I think...
Like over here?
The pot is fully larger than the three of them combined.
But yeah, there's no way it's going to put it on the windowsill.
It might just be a theory. I don't know much about sphere botany. However, this is Cece talking. We might need to put that plant near a furnace because I think plants need to be near something hot in order to thrive.
Okay.
Right? So like, is there a hot spot in the room? Is there like a spot where is there a heat vent that if you put your feeties on it, it gets warm in the winter?
Well, the hottest spot in the room is the windowsill because that's where the sun's coming in.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think the hottest spot in the room is actually right here. And Cece points to the spot directly next to her.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You put the plant next to me, I'll supply all the heat it needs.
Cece, what if the plant looks cold, maybe you could put the snoogie on it.
We can dress it up! Idea. And that is how the tradition of decorating trees began in Sphere.
June kind of waddles the potted plant towards that spot in the room. And the bottom of the ceramic, I don't know what, the clay pot that the plant is in.
It's a terracotta pot, yeah.
Yeah, it's a terracotta pot. It snags on some of the paper that has fallen on the floor through this redecoration. And June stops and tries to move the paper, only to discover that one of them is an envelope.
Oh, my. Ooh.
Hey, guys, I think this one actually... Oh, yep. Nope, it's for us. Oh. This one's for us.
You know, it seems to be a running pattern that it is.
Well, I guess when we're sorting the mail all the time, we're going to eventually run into stuff that's
for
ours,
us.
Right? Like, yeah.
I think it's because Cece pretends to draw a large katana, the protagonists.
Yeah, you keep saying that word, but I'm not clear on what it means.
Protagonist?
It means that this letter is from the plant.
I believe that fully and completely.
No.
Should we read it and find out?
Let's read this letter from another dimension.
Okay. Dear June, Kieran, and Cece, I have a problem, and I need some outside perspective.
Outside another dimension. Got you, fam.
Where I live, there are lots and lots of chickadees, and I love them. Who doesn't? They're adorable
chickadees.
And scrappy and so, so smart. For years, I've been feeding them. I can sit close while they eat, and they'll eat out of my hands. That's so cool.
Yes.
It's really
cool. I put up birdhouses for them to nest in that I make myself.
Oh my God.
I like to figure out which designs and spots are their favorites. I try to give the birdhouses space so I can not disturb them. But there is one special birdhouse that I made and mounted right near my window. I left a little gap in the side so that I could see the nestlings inside it without disturbing the nest. I hoped that one year some chickadees would feel brave or comfortable enough to nest there, and I'd get to see the nestlings grow up. The chickadees have ignored this birdhouse for years, which isn't surprising. But this year, a pair of chickadees have nested there.
Let's go.
That's exciting.
I've really enjoyed quietly watching them build and tend their nest. Here's where the issue comes in. Okay. It took me a while to get a really good look at the eggs. Since the parents cover them when they leave, and when the parents are present, I avoid looking too much. That's very polite. Yeah. But recently, I was really able to see them. One of the eggs is gold.
Oh.
I'm scared to tell anyone. What if word got out and someone tore the birdhouse apart to get at the egg?
No!
Or stole all the fledglings after they hatch? I know griffins are valuable. I don't want the chickadees to get hurt, but I also can't stop thinking about the idea of having my own griffin. I feel that. Mm. Am I being selfish? I love the chickadees, and this is my very first time any chickadee has nested in the special birdhouse. I don't want to betray their trust, but I don't know how to make it right. Other times, I can't get the thought of this egg out of my head. I keep dreaming about it. Sometimes I have nightmares of someone stealing it or I've stolen it and I don't know how to make it right. Other times I watch a beautiful giant chickadee fly away and never come back and it breaks my heart.
You know, this
feels like an amazing opportunity I don't want to miss, but that's only how it feels to me. That's probably not how it feels to the chickadees. What should I do? What would you do? Appreciate any thoughts you have, DD. Okay, well, this is not from the plant.
No, but I think it's definitely about not plants in a way where the
Go
joy
on.
Of kind of having a plant. At this, right, is allowing something to grow and allowing nature to grow around you. And you are an active participant as an observer, but you are not an interferer. You can't force this plant to grow. You know, you can't, the more you watch it, it's not going to grow any faster. But it's about observing the natural world happening. So yeah, this bird stuff, it's going to happen and things are going to hatch and fly away. And sometimes nature is cruel. Nature is hard and challenging. But you can't interfere. You gotta let it happen. So it's okay to just be an observer and let things happen and let it be what it can be. You know, you can't just, you know, strong arm and crowbar nature. You know, this plant, we can water it, we can do what we can, but we gotta let it grow and let it happen. These birds, you gotta let them go. It's like our parents in the Audrin. Let us go and doing wild stuff and casting spells and things. And, you know, that's dangerous, but they trust and believe in us. You have to trust and believe in these birds. Cece sits down exhausted.
That was so many words, Cece.
That was a lot
sweating!
Of words.
I'm dripping!
It was good, though. It was good.
Thanks,
June. Like, offer Cece a towel.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Cece wipes herself off like she's in a boxing match.
Yeah. This is a tricky one, because, like, I definitely relate to the desire to, like, help the birds and be near them. And definitely finding a golden egg that's going to turn into a lion bird is pretty amazing. But I think Cece's kind of right.
You just gotta let things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta trust. Well, she's very far away, so it's... You gotta trust! You gotta trust in the birds, man! They'll never cheat you. They'll never let you down.
Cece, I feel like being in the hallway might actually make you be warm worse.
Oh,
the furnace is like...
It's so hot next to me!
Because the furnace is down there. The furnace... CC is over there.
Oh, no, it's because of my muscles, June. Thank you, though, but it's because of the guns.
It does make sense that it's because of CC's muscles.
Oh.
She is getting stronger.
It's true.
Thank you. I know I'm getting stronger every day.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano-Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano-Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatano-Saez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertep, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertep.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at angryartist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Session Zero. Session Zero is a discussion podcast that seeks to explore the psychology of role-playing. Each episode will feature role-playing concepts, stories, and tropes viewed through the lens of psychology by clinical psychologist Porter Green and industrial organizational psychologist Steve Descant. Join us on the couch for the next session. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs. Do mercies. And take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho, singing way.